I think there's a nice link to this word study, because I'd like to add this particular thought, that that word also carries with it the thought of to be earnest, to be diligent in showing thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So as one who is, has a desire, as young people who know the Lord, to display, we think of the pillar, we think of the ground of truth. We are displaying the characteristics of Christ, and we are behaving ourselves accordingly, because we want to, we want the world to see that we are attached to Him in a very wonderful way. So now in this second epistle, which really sees things in ruin, that we would have a desire to be diligent, to be earnest in these things, so that we show ourselves, is it approved unto man? No, it's approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, I remember a brother giving a wonderful example of a man who is a carpenter, and he's making some kind of boxes, and he's not diligent in measuring things out according to the line. And so when he's finished with his product, some parts are even, some parts are not even, too high, too low. And now he wants to set that before his master as if this is good work. It's shoddy work. And so therefore he would be ashamed before his master. But what we want is to be earnest, to be diligent, approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed of our work, rightly dividing the word of truth. It means to be able to cut in a straight line, right? So why is it that we have meetings like this? Why are we talking about the teachings of the word of God? It's so that we can apply it properly, that we can cut, you know, it's like someone who is putting together a dress, and there is a pattern, right? It's being able to cut the line straight on either side so that when that dress or shirt is put together, it is perfect. And so it's being able to rightly apply the word of truth. These are the things that we have before us, to be diligent, to be earnest, that our work is not shoddy, so that we're not ashamed in the presence of our God, and having the word of God in our hands skillfully, so that we're able to rightly divide it, rightly apply it, and not misapply it.
I think that's so important. I wanted to say a word on that, and I'm glad that you brought the sewing in. We usually think of the brothers and the work that we do, whether we're painting a car or whether we're doing carpenter work. We don't want somebody to look at the job. Recently at home, we noticed a building that was put up a few miles down the road from us, and everybody that went by would notice the same thing. The window was put in the building crooked, you know? We had an occasion once in the family where Karen packed the stuff to take to the vacation house that we were going to, and somehow, I think instead of flour or one of the products, soap was put in to wash the dishes. And it somehow got mixed up, and when my younger daughter was baking, she didn't catch it at the time, and you can imagine what happened to the dish that we had. She said, "Mom, something is desperately wrong, okay?" So we find again the importance that we see in this verse of, as you've said, not shoddy in our approach, diligent. That was really what we had in Psalm 1. It's a picture, an illustration, first, of the Lord Jesus himself. He was those things. And then he wants me to be those same things. And we've had here then that he's not ashamed, okay? That word is used a number of times in this second epistle of Timothy. It doesn't appear before that. But here, there was a man that looked up Paul when he was in prison. He was not ashamed of Paul's chain. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ" in Romans. It's a word that's used many times. Well, here it says that he need not to be ashamed, but as we have had, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now we find in this next verse, and sometimes you may have felt this way, that I've got to answer every question somebody brings before me. We have a wonderful example in the Lord Jesus himself. When questions were asked to him, some he didn't answer. Others he turned around to reach the conscience of the man or the woman that was asking. Now, right here is very clear instruction. Profane and vain babblings. What am I supposed to do? What does this book tell me? Am I going to listen to what the word says? Or am I going to get into a quagmire with somebody because I've decided to enter into an area that I shouldn't be in? Shun them. Not the person. It doesn't say that I act towards a person in that way, but that I do not feel the responsibility to enter into a conversation with every kind of question that somebody would bring. Shun profane and vain babblings. Now here's a key verse. Say I decide not to do that. You want to know where it'll go? The Spirit of God says, I'll tell you. This is where it will end up. It will increase, he says, unto more ungodliness. The word more is critical there. You see, it was ungodliness that brought it. And I responded in a wrong way. And it made a bad problem worse.